Welcome to the Manage Impact Development Training for Operations Manager. My name is Brian Redden. I'm a knowledge engineer with Microsoft, focusing on System Center and cloud technologies. This lesson is titled Cookdown. Now, in the previous lessons, we've talked about monitoring with scripts and custom modules. The great advantage of using scripts is that we can implement just about any monitoring scenario. The downside can be some overhead. Now, in most cases, that isn't a big deal, but if you don't do things right, you can actually have a bunch of copies of the same script running at the same time, and that can cause some overhead that you do care about. And that's where Cookdown comes in. So here's a situation that we're trying to avoid. Here we have a single monitor or a rule targeted at some class that has multiple instances. This probably won't be something like a computer class role because you typically only have one of those on a particular agent. What we're concerned about are classes that have multiple instances for one parent. Databases on a database server, websites on a web server, that sort of thing. Now remember that we get a separate instance of every workflow for every target object. So in this case, we would get a separate copy of that monitor with its script for every instance of the object. That means if we add 10 databases, we get 10 almost identical copies of that script running at the same time. Add a database, we now have 11 copies of the script running. So this is obviously not desirable because it means our management pack can't scale. We're adding considerable overhead every time a new object gets created. Now, Cookdown is a feature in Ops Manager that is specifically designed to deal with this situation. So if we design our script to support Cookdown, this is what we get. We still have separate instances of the workflow for every object. That's never going to change. But behind the scenes, it's going to consolidate all those workflows into using a single instance of the data source. And of course, the data source is where the script is. So the result of this is one copy of the script running for all of those different objects. Now this obviously has much less overhead. I'm still going to have multiple workflows, but all those condition detections and other lighter modules aren't going to create any overhead that we care about. It's that script that's all important because that by far is going to require the most resources. So the big question is how you configure a script for Cookdown. You won't see the term Cookdown anywhere in a management pack. It's not like you tell a script that it should cook down. It just happens as long as you write it correctly. There's only one requirement for a script to support Cookdown, and that's that all the instances of that data source have identical values for their parameters. Remember that the workflow might use variables for parameter values, and we need to make sure that all the parameters for all those instances resolve to the same value. So in other words, the script has to be able to work for all instances using identical values. In other words, we typically don't want to use target variables. Now keep in mind that target variables resolve some value from the target object. If I have different target objects, we may get different values. If that's the case, you won't get Cookdown. Now, this can be a little bit of a confusing concept at first, so let's see if we can show this with an example. And this actually is the example that we're going to be working with in a bit when we actually go into our management pack and build some monitors and rules that support Cookdown. So I have some monitor rule that's targeted our store queue class, and that's from our sample application that we've been working with. Remember that this class is hosted by Central Processor, and we can have multiple queues per host. So let's assume that I have a parameter that uses a target variable for the folder path of the queue. Now that's going to resolve for a different value for each instance, because each queue has a unique value for that folder path property. So in this case, I won't get Cookdown. But let's take the same example and change that variable to use a value from the host. It's still a target variable, but this is now a property on the central server, and that's the top level path for all the queues. Since all the queues share this host, they're going to get the same value for that parameter. So the issue is not necessarily that you can't use target variables at all, you just don't want to use them if they're going to resolve differently for each target object. Typically using a host value is going to work fine. And remember that we're only concerned here about classes with multiple instances per parent. We have all sorts of classes that are only going to have a single instance on each agent. And you can use target variables for those all you want because Cookdown won't matter. And that's why we really haven't had to worry about that up until now. So hopefully this gives some basic concept, at least some basic understanding of this now. When we actually go in to our management pack and build this, I'll actually start by building a monitor that does not support cookdown. We'll see the effects of that, and then we'll change it and actually see that work, and I think it will make a lot more sense at that time. But now let's actually look at the implementation of the monitor, or the rule. We're actually talking about the workflow here. Now there are some obvious changes we need to make to our script if it's going to support cookdown. The basic idea is that instead of returning a property bag for one object like we did before, we're going to return a separate property bag for each target object. So the monitor is actually going to send out multiple property bags instead of just one. Now in order to do that though, our script is going to have to be able to enumerate each instance. And for that, we're actually going to have to recreate a bit of discovery logic. If you remember, when we go back to discovery scripts, we had to be able to find each instance and its properties. So we wrote a discovery script for those queues. So if we think back to the discovery built for that queue class, we had to provide it with the location of where the queues live, the folder path of the top level. Then we wrote a script that walked through and collected up each folder under that path, which identified each queue for us. Now we don't need to go creating all of our discovery data here and getting all those different properties, but we are at least going to need the logic to find those instances. Now the script is just going to throw out this big bunch of property bags, but we'll have one property bag for each instance. And we'll need some condition detection in that workflow so each instance can figure out which property bag it wants. Now all that can get a little bit confusing, so let's see if we can illustrate it and make this make a lot more sense. So I have here a monitor that supports cookdown. Its target is our queue class, just like I showed earlier. And I'm showing one of the queues here, but we obviously are going to have the same workflow for each instance. Just for this example, we're just going to look at this one object. So the script runs, and we have this key property for our queue class called store code. Now we can't pass that to the script though, because that would be unique for each queue, and it would break cookdown. So let's put that aside for a second. We're going to need it, but we're not going to use it yet. So the script runs, and instead of just creating one property bag like in our previous lesson, we're going to create a property bag for each instance. Now those property bags will include all the same data we collected before, length of the queue, age of the oldest entry, etc. But it's also going to add the store code. Without that, we wouldn't have any idea which property bag belonged to which target object. So we're going to take that store code variable and move it to a condition detection that comes after our script. So the script is going to throw out all those property bags, but only one of them will match that condition detection and make it through. Of course, that match is going to be different for each instance of the workflow. So in this case here, the workflow is running against this queue S1, so it selects the S1 property bag, which is then used with a condition detection that checks that health state. So let's look at the basic structure of a script that supports cookdown. We're going to start, just like we did before, by creating an object for script API. And then we're going to create a property bag and add values to that property bag, just like we did before. What's different is that the property bag is going to be inside of a loop that walks through each object. And that's where I mentioned that we may need to recreate a bit of discovery logic. We need to know where to get that list of objects and their key property. But you notice that we create the property bag and then return it within that loop. So we're going to walk through the loop for each target instance, collect values for that particular instance, and then send out the property bag. And we'll, of course, run that loop once for each target object. So here's our exercise. Pretty much the same thing we did in the last lesson, except this time we're going to create a monitor and a rule to look at the number of entries in each individual queue. Last time we got the entries in all of the queues. So we're going to do a new script and new set of modules that support cookdown. Now before we do that, let's just give a quick conceptual here of the modules that we're going to create. So we're going to start with a new script that I'm calling single queue stats PS1. That's going to return data for all of the queues, but they're going to be in individual property bags. So instead of collecting one large number that represents the number for all the queues, we'll have a number associated with each of those queue objects, and we'll be able to create a monitor on each of the individual queues. Now we'll call that script with the PowerShell property bag probe in the library, and we'll wrap that up in a probe that we'll call single queue statistics. Now that's going to require us to provide a folder to pass this to the script to work with, and I'll talk about that in a sec. Now of course we need a scheduler to run this probe every few minutes, and then we'll wrap that up in a data source module. So let's talk about that folder parameter though that we're going to have to provide. Now just so we remember what our classes look like, we have a central processor with a QPath property that hosts a queues class that each have a folder path and a store code property. Now we're going to need to pass the QPath property on central server to that data source module. That will be the same for all of the queue instances. So we're going to go ahead and get cookdown. We're going to need to get the folder path for each queue because we need to do the file count, but we're going to have to do that within the script itself. Now the next thing I mentioned is a condition detection that filters on store code. This is where I'm going to let each workflow select just the property bag that's relevant to its instance. And we're going to go ahead and wrap that up in a data source module that I'll refer to as our filtered module. We'll call it property bag filtered. Now notice that module is going to accept a parameter called store code, and that's going to be unique for each queue. So that blue module there won't cook down. But the green module that's wrapped up in it is going to cook down just fine. And that's the one that has the script. So that's the one that we're particularly interested in. Now I'm actually going to create one more module, which will map this property bag to performance data exactly like we did in the last lesson. I'm just not showing it here because I just didn't have enough room. Like I say, we've already been through that logic. The only difference here is that we'll be working with modules under the covers that are going to do cookdown. So this might be, again, a little bit confusing by this point, but I think certainly once we start to get in and build these and we'll actually do a simulation and we'll look at all the property bags coming out and we'll look at each individual object selecting the property bag it's interested in, then I think it'll start to become much more clear. All right, so here we are in our management pack. Now, before I start creating the script and modules to do cookdown, I want to do a quick little demonstration here just to show what basically the situation that we're trying to avoid, basically a script targeted at multiple instances that's not written for that, and really kind of drive home this kind of multiple workflow concept that I was showing in the slides. So let's go over here. We're going to take an existing monitor that we already built. Okay, that's this, just trying to find it here, this all queue entries. Okay, so this is running our old script, which is this all queue stats, right? And we built a bunch of modules around that one. Now, if you look at this script though, I'm just accepting in, give it a folder. It's gonna log a 101 event, and it's just gonna go get all of the files underneath that folder. Now, we'd use this little recurse switch in there, which told it look under subfolders as well. And so when we're targeting right now at the top level, it collects up all the files under all the folders. Well, this exact same script would work if I just gave it one of those end folders, one of the queue folders, instead of the top level. So what I'm going to do is copy this monitor here. Okay. And what we're going to do is retarget this thing at queue. Okay, because like I said, this will work. The difference is, remember what I mentioned, we're not going to get cookdown if we're using target variables that resolve to different values. And that, this case, that's exactly what's going to happen. So I want to show what happens when we have basically a badly behaved module like this. So monitor type can stay the same. Parent monitor can stay the same. The ID I'm going to change because I changed its target. It's just my little naming scheme. I'm going to call this monitor queue entries, and I'm going to say bad, just to really drive home that this is not something that we want to be doing. Okay, then I'm going to have to change something in our configuration a bit. Remember here, this folder, we're targeting its central processor at the queue path, which is its property. What we're going to do now, though, is change that to folder path on the queue class, okay, because that's now our target, right? Okay, so actually, this will work. All right, so let's go ahead. Let me just do a quick compile to make sure I haven't made any silly mistakes. Okay, so that compiled okay. But this exact same script, again, should work just fine against the queues, which are multiple instances. It will return the correct data. It will be completely functional. The difference is we're going to get an instance for every single target, which is not what we want. So let's go ahead and install this, and we can actually look, because I have the script creating an event, then we can look and basically look at how many events we're getting, which tells us how many instances of the script we're getting. Okay, so now if we look at our queues, sure enough, those are monitored. Remember, they were unmonitored before because we had our monitor targeting up at central processor. So this is totally functional. But let's look at the events now on the actual agent machine where this is running. So remember, our script is going to create a 101 event every time it runs. And sure enough, we can see here, remember I had 5 different queues in my lab environment there. I used to have 3 in the previous lessons. I created a couple more just to really drive home the cookdown point. But what's interesting here, notice all these different 101 events, and you can see the different folder for each one. This is the empty. This is actually the original all queue stats. That's our original monitor that's running there, because that's the top level folder. But you can see all these others are coming from that one running of the monitor. And we're going to see this every single time this thing runs. There's again another bunch of 101 events. And so what we're seeing is that script is running 5 times. If I added another queue, it runs 6 times. Another one, it runs 7 times, right? And so obviously, this does not scale properly, right? And so our challenge now is to create this exact same functionality, but write it for cookdown. And back into our management pack, and let's go ahead and start building all this for cookdown. So the first thing we're going to need to do is create ourselves a script. Okay, so this one I'm going to call single queue stats. Now this is, as I mentioned, going to be returning data for all the different queues, but instead of like our old script, which is returning a single set of data for all of the queues, this one's going to return a separate property bag for each individual queue. But the logic is close enough that I'm just going to go ahead and start with a copy-paste. Because most of this code, in fact, really all of this code, we're going to be able to reuse in this script. And kind of doing it this way will really show the difference between doing a script for a single instance target and for a target that has multiple instances. So let's just basically walk through this thing here. We're still, same parameter we're going to be accepting in, just need to send in the name of a folder, and this is, of course, the top level folder for our store queues. We're going to need script API object, that hasn't changed. Here, where we're logging the event, and these are, of course, the 101 events that we were just looking at, but I obviously want this to be our new script name. And I'm going to change this to a 102, basically just so we can tell the events apart. We were looking at all those 101 events a moment ago, and now what I want to do, hopefully, is when this script runs, we'll only see one 102 event, which is will tell us that we're doing cookdown. Okay, then we get to this line here, which is actually going out and collecting the file count. So this is where we're going to need some new code, right? Because this is just looking at the top level right now. So what we need to do is essentially iterate through each of the different queues. So since we're simulating our queues just with the file system, we need to iterate through all of the different subfolders underneath that top level folder. Now remember before I mentioned that very often we end up recreating some of our discovery logic when we do this. So I'm going to go back, this is several lessons ago that we did this, our discovery script where we collect up the queues. And sure enough, we can see here this line where we're getting the subfolders for this folder path that we send in. Okay, and then we have a loop that walks through each of those subfolders. This is exactly the same logic that I need, so I'm going to go ahead and copy and paste this. Now, if we were doing this, say, with a set of databases or something, I'd most likely have a line of code here where I was iterating through all of the different databases in the database engine, that sort of thing, right? But this is a really common model that you're going to see in a script written for cookdown where we get all the instances and then loop through them. So I'm going to go ahead and make that loop there. I'm going to take all this code here and put it inside of it, okay? Because basically what we need to do is run that code, go and collect up all the files and oldest file and all those statistics that we measured for each of the individual folders within that top level one, okay? So let's go through, we do have a couple little changes here. So first off, this line here, I used the variable name top folder before, and now I'm just using folder, so I'm gonna go ahead and replace that. Otherwise, this should work as is. This for each subfolder, that should work fine. This line though here is getting all of the items in folder, which is going to be that top level one, right? So this would give the same value for each one. We need this to be our subfolder. Now subfolder in this case, folder here, we're passing in, it's just a string, right? It's just the name of the path. Subfolder here though is an object. And so actually I'm going to need to make this subfolder full name. And that what that does is on the folder object in PowerShell, that return full name returns the path. Of course, if we go back to our queue discovery here, we can see here we collected this property called folder path on our queue class, and there we are, subfolder.fullname, exactly the same. Okay, so this will get all the files in that folder, and then all this we can really leave alone. This is going to work fine as is. This is going to get our file count, oldest file, the total size of all those files, all those different statistics that we collected up in the script when we wrote it before. And then of course we're going to create a property bag and then return the property bag. And again, we're going to loop through this for each instance of that target. But if we look here at the property bag we're creating, if we think, you know, I had five different queues that I showed just a moment ago in my test environment, my test lab, and we will get a property bag for each of those. Problem is though, have a look here, how would I know which property bag goes with which queue? This I have no idea, right? So what you're going to need to do is add another value in here. I'll do an add value. And we're going to do store code. Remember, store code is the key property for the queue class that we created. And I'm going to populate this with subfolder.name. Okay? So if I go back again, let's validate this. If I look at my queue discovery, store code is just the name of the folder. Okay, so that perfectly matches up, right? So now we're going to loop through for each of those folders or each of those queues that I'm using folders to simulate, and it will return a separate value with a store code that's unique to that particular queue, and that we'll be able to use in a bit when we create our modules to filter that out. Okay, so one other, but this is actually ready to go as far as putting it into our module, working with it in the management pack. Before we do that though, let's validate that we don't have any mistakes here, and we'll test it on a command line. Now remember I mentioned this before, this little trick that I have to play, because if I just return the object, works great for the management pack, but not so much on a command line. So I'm gonna comment that out, and then bring back that API return line that will help us out on the command line. I'm going to do the same thing for the all queues one, just because we're going to want to have a look at that one, just for comparison. I want to have a look at, we've already seen that one run, but let's have a look at it, like I say, so we can compare the two together. And just what I'm going to have to remember to do is when we come back in here in Visual Studio and create our modules, I'm going to have to obviously comment out, basically return that, because this won't work in the management pack, but it will work on the command line. Okay, so here we are on our command line. So let's go over, I have my project at MP, MP author, MP author stores, and then health model. Okay, let's just kind of clean up so we can see what's going on. So we see there are single queue stats, our all queue stats. I'm going to start by running all queues, which we saw before. And remember, I have just a set, this is on my workstation here, as opposed to on the lab server that we saw before in the management group. So this is just some folders that I set up on my workstation for testing that this is running against. And sure enough, when we saw this before, I think I took the XML out and pasted in so we could inspect it a little bit nicer here, but this I'm just doing a quick validation. When we actually build our modules and we build our monitor, we'll test it in the MP simulator, and so then we'll actually have a look at the nice XML coming back. Right now I just want to do a quickie validation that we're working okay. But we can see here, this is the old script. We can see file count here is 40. This is for all of the different queues. Okay, so now let's have a look at, I can keep the same folder there, and I'm going to look at single queue stats. Okay. And let's scroll this up just so we can see. Now we see a lot more data coming back. And in my on my workstation here, I have three different queues. Okay, so if I show them here, let's just scroll this down a little bit so we can see a little better. If we look at store queues, we can see I have three there on my workstation. And if we look here into the XML again, just quickie validation, I won't paste it in, but we can see here, here's property bag data, here's store code S1, file count for that is over here is 8. And if we search a little bit more here, here's another store code S2, 21, and of course, if we look down here, here's S3. Okay, so again, I could go paste that in and really inspect the XML if I wanted to, but at least now we can see, look, I am getting three different property bags as I would expect, and I appear to be getting data for each one. So I'd say this script is good enough, appears to be working fine, so let's go ahead and move on and let's build the modules that contain this script. Okay, so we have our script, now let's build our modules. First thing, let's go ahead and return this back. That in the working state and put that back. Okay. So now let's go ahead. I'm just going to keep, I'll keep that open just in case. So next thing we want to look at is our modules here. Okay, so let's roll this up just so I can kind of see what's going on. Now this is actually going to go much faster than it did in the last lesson that we did because we can do a whole lot of copying and pasting here. So if we look at our existing all queue statistics, we're starting with the probe. I should back up and talk about that. Remember, as I showed in the slides, the first thing we need is a probe module to actually hold the script for us. So I'm going to copy the one that we created before for all queues. And if we note here, first off, pretty obviously, I'm going to have to change its name to single queue. And I'll change it up here as well. Okay, but if we go through, all this is doing is bringing in this PowerShell property bag, trigger only, I talked about that in the last lesson, but it's using that probe to run the script. And it's accepting in this one parameter for folder, and then returning property bag. Now, our old one just returned one property bag. This one's going to return multiple, one for each target instance. There's nothing we have to do to worry about that, though. If it's one or if it's multiple, there's no change to the module for that. So all we need to do here is change that script name there, and then of course here's the include file that's going to bring in the contents of our script file, and I'll change that to single queue. And that actually should be good to go. I mean, this module, I'm just going to do a quick build like I always do, just to double check that I don't have any typos or any obvious typos. But other than that, we should be good there on that probe. Okay, so that's good. That succeeded. All right, so we have a probe module now to run our new script. Next thing is the property bag. So let's go ahead and copy, again, the existing one. Let's see, I'm going to put all, keep my probes separate. I'm going to kind of put my cookdown stuff right here. So obviously I'm going to need to change this to single queue and the name as well. Okay, but remember what this is doing, exactly the same logic that we used before, which is we're going to take that probe and we're going to add a scheduler to it so that it can run on a schedule basis in a data source module. So let's just look through. This accepts these three parameters, interval, second, sync time, and folder. Folder's the same for our new script. So that all can stay the same. The schedule here can stay the same. Really, the only thing I'm going to have to change is the probe module that we're calling. Okay? So if I look at this one here now, we should be good to go. Okay, again, we're using the same logic, we're just calling a different script. The fact that this is going to return multiple property bags instead of one makes no difference to us. Now, remember, probes, we don't think about cookdown. It's mainly the data source where we're thinking about doing cookdown. This is the critical module, and let's look at these two separately. So now, what's critical to understand is this property bag here is going to do cookdown. All right, we're going to pass in this folder. It's going to be the top level folder, which we're going to resolve for everybody. And where we set that target object, we'll set that later on when we actually build the monitor, and we'll show how that's done. But that folder that's going to come in will resolve to the same thing for each target instance, for each target queue. And so this module here will cook down into one. This is the critical one in the workflow that's going to do the cook down. All right. But the next thing we need is the one that does the filtering for us. And this one, we can't just do a straight up copy paste because this one is a little bit different. Okay, so the next module we need is the one that's going to filter on that store code. Now, we don't have an equivalent for that one in our old workflow. This is going to be a brand new data source as opposed to just being able to do a straight copy and minor edits on another one. Because this one's going to filter on store code, which is a functionality we didn't do at all before. So what I am going to do, though, is I'm going to copy this performance one because it's at least similar enough that I can kind of steal the structure and then save and kind of do some more modification to it. Remember, I think I said a long time ago, several lessons ago when we started doing all this editing in XML, that the great advantage to it is you almost never create these things from scratch. It's a quick copy paste and then doing some edits on it. So what I'm going to call this one, though, so I'm going to make it QStatistics property bag, and I'm going to call it filtered. Okay? So it's going to return exactly the same. Just should try to talk and type at the same time. The difference here is this data source is going to return all of the property bags. So if I have five queues, five property bags are going to come out. What this module is going to do is basically run this one, but instead of returning five, it's going to select one of them. Okay, so this will just return a single one. So let's go through some fairly significant edits on this one, because I'm kind of different than this performance one we had before. First off, data source module. This one is going to be this one down here, which is our single queue statistics property bag. Okay, this all should stay the same, right? All I'm doing is passing on the interval time, interval second, sync time folder. Same thing's going to run. What's different, though, is we are not going to do this map to perf. What this is going to do is we're going to do a filter, I'm going to call it. Remember, this ID is just for my own purposes. And this type here, we're going to use a module that we've seen several times, which is system expression filter. Now, obviously, I could go and kind of do a copy-paste in of this expression that we've seen a few times now. We saw it in our monitor types. We'll see it in rules. This is one you'll see a lot. I just kind of pasted in my end product here from MPI I already had built just to kind of save some time. But let me certainly talk through this. So again, this is plain old expression filter that we've seen before. And what I'm saying here is the store code equals the store code that's getting passed in. Now let's, one thing that I failed to do up here, let's go ahead and change this, and then because this is a really critical point, so I'll make sure I talk through this, explain this a little bit more if this isn't obvious. So let's change, remember before, again getting ahead of myself, I copied in the performance module, and so we had to accept in the performance counter. Obviously we don't need that for this module. What we do need, though, is a store code, okay, and we're going to provide that with our monitor, is we'll use a target variable to provide this value. This store code is what's going to get used here. And remember, our property bag coming out of our script right here is going to have this value called store code. Okay? That's what this here refers to, is the value in our property bag called store code. We need to match up with the store code that we're passing into the module. Okay, and what the end result of that is going to be is we're only going to get one property bag, and it's the one that's going to belong to our target object. Now, one other, let me make this final change here. And we should be good to go. Change this, obviously. Remember, this is our composition. This says run the data source, then run the filter. Oh, and last thing here is our output type is not performance data. Our output type is going to be system property bag data. Okay. And a second I'll compile that, but before I do that, let me just talk through this. So remember, let me kind of roll this up just so we can see these together. And this is really the critical point. I made this point in the slides, but this is the one I really, really want to drive home. So this store code here is going to come from a target variable, okay? And that's going to be different for every single queue. This property bag will not cook down. We will get an instance of this property bag, or I'm sorry, of this module. We will get an instance of this module for every single instance. I have five queues that I'm targeting. I'm going to get five instances of this module. But this module here, we're going to accept folder in, okay, and that'll also come from a target variable, but we're going to use the host of the queue, which will be the same for all. That's what's going to get passed down to here to this module. This one will cook down because that value will be identical for all of our instances. And of course, that's the one that's running the script. So our end result is we're only going to get one instance of that script, and that's ultimately the main thing that we care about. So let me just do a quick build here with all these changes. I did two modules. I'm returning data types. Let's make sure I don't have a mistake somewhere in here. Okay, so that succeeded, so at least we don't have any obvious errors going on. And just one final module, and I don't think I have this one on the slide, but what we want to do is, remember I talked about this last time, is we have this data coming back as a property bag. Let's also return it as performance data. Okay, and that way we make sure that if we have a rule or we want to do a collection, we kind of have that option whether we want to use performance data or property bag. So I'm going to call this just so our names match up. I'm going to call that single queue statistics performance filtered. And I'll do the same thing here. Okay, so the first thing I obviously need to change is the name. Let's call this single queue statistics performance filtered. Okay, so what we need to change in here obviously is the name first. Single queue statistics, I'm going to call it performance filtered. Okay, just to really drive home that this is filtered on store code. Okay, now if we look here at the configuration that we're bringing in, we have parameter interval second, sync time, folder, which counter we want. All exactly the same, we need all those. But of course there's one more we need, which is our store code. Let's go ahead and bring this one in. Okay, and I'll put that over counter, okay. Overridable parameters, I'm gonna keep the same. The user shouldn't be able to change folder and store code and counter. Those all belong to the rule in the monitor, okay. They can certainly override how often it runs. And right here, we're going to need to change this to, let's just copy the name. Okay, and this is just because before it was calling the old property bag module. We're going to call our property bag filtered module. Okay, but passing in exactly the same parameters to it. Explained all those parameters last time, so hopefully I don't need to here. And then we're going to take that property bag and map it to performance data. Now here, stays the same, okay? This is this data generic mapper doing the same thing. Let's have a look here at the different properties on this performance object. MP author stores, keep that the same. Counter name is the same. Here's where our difference comes in, is our instance name. Before we didn't have an instance because it was just going to be one value for everything, okay? So there weren't individual instances. Now we do have individual instances and we can use store code for that, okay? And then of course I explained this here last time. This is bringing in the value from the property bag. Of course we're guaranteed that the value from the property bag belongs to the current targeted object because we're doing that filtering on store code. Okay. Oh, in fact, there is one other, and my apologies, I did miss something here. If we notice here, and this actually should have failed when I did the compile, we're calling in this property bag filtered, which is down here, interval second, sync time folder. It also needs a store code. We failed to add that in there. So let's go ahead and add in store code. We should have found that when we did the compile, as it would have said it required that parameter that we didn't provide. Okay. And we should be good there. So let's go ahead and save. And I'm going to go ahead and do a build, and hopefully, assuming I got this right, then we have all our modules in place. Okay, so that appears to be good. So let me just kind of roll everything back up again. Okay, do another. Oops. There we go. Okay. So there's all my modules. We're good there. I'm going to roll those up. What I now need is a new monitor type. Okay, so we have our existing monitor type, which is our old one we created, and should come as no surprise, and I'm going to copy that. There's actually surprisingly few changes we're actually going to need to make here. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll kind of talk through each section. Okay, obviously change it to single queue statistics. Okay, so if we look at the different monitor type states, same thing, over, warning, and under, so we're a three-state monitor this will support. If you look at our configuration, all these same values we're going to need. Of course, we need that one additional one, which is going to be store code. Okay, roll that one up. Overridable parameters, that hasn't changed, same thing. Okay, so here's our data source. Now, obviously, this one we're going to need to change. Why don't I prompt for that just to do things a little differently? Okay, MP author. I want single queue statistics. Property bag filtered. Okay, just different way as opposed to a copy paste. Okay, as we saw before, that requires a store code. Otherwise, everything else is the same. All right, so we're good there. Roll that up. Remember, we included the probe in there. The reason we use that is so we could do on-demand detection instead of regular monitoring. So let's go ahead and change that. Okay. Yep, I can there. So I can say single queue statistics. Okay, so that brings that one in. And then here we get, really, this is all the work when we do a monitor type, okay? Filter under threshold, filter over warning, filter the over error. These are all those expressions we brought in. This doesn't change, right? So what's happening here is we're going to compare these to the thresholds. Those are going to come in as parameters from our monitor. And this line here is bringing in the value from the property bag. And of course, as we mentioned before, we guarantee that that's correct because we're filtering on that. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and roll those up. And then, of course, there's our regular detections and our on-demand detections. None of that changes. Okay, everything's the same there. And on-demand. And we're good. All right, so everything is good. Modules, monitor types. So next thing we do is actually let's create our workflows. Let's create a rule and a monitor that uses the modules and monitor type we just created. Then just, of course, make sure we don't have any obvious errors. Let's go ahead and do a build. Okay, so we're good. So now we have our modules, we have our monitor type. Everything should be supporting Cookdown. So next thing to do is to actually go and build our monitors and rules. Then we'll go do a simulation on that and actually install and have a look. Okay, so let's go back to our template group. And I'm going to leave this bad one running just because I think it'll be interesting to watch all those events getting created next to our relatively nice 102 event that we're looking for. But I'm going to copy in the original one. Let's see, this is the one that we did the copy on. Okay. And just like we did before, let's change the target to Q. Okay, we'll change its ID to Q. dot queue entries, and we'll just leave queue entries here. Why don't we just, to really drive it home, we can call that queue entries cookdown just to really show it's our good one. And, oh, hang on, we have to go to our other monitor type. Okay. So here, of course, is our old one. We're going to use this one here, the single queue statistics. And fortunately, it kept the XML in place for us, most of which is the same. Okay, so we had a folder there before, and now we have this store code. Okay, so let's, these we're going to keep the same. We explained those last time. Okay, first off here, this folder, this actually is the folder we want, which is the queue path on the central processor. The difference is it's the host. Okay, as opposed to, because before we were targeting central processor, now we're targeting queue. Central processor is a host of queue, therefore we're looking at the host of the target object. And then just to get the syntax down, let's go ahead and copy this to store code. This one we're interested in the code on the queue. Okay, and so hopefully I've explained that over and over of how that cookdown's working, so hopefully I'm not going to bother repeating myself again, but that should be what we need in place now for our new monitor. Okay, so that really should be good to go. Let's go ahead and create a rule. Okay, I'm actually gonna, let's create this one from the ground up. Okay, so I'm gonna say performance collection, which is exactly what we're doing. And I'm gonna make the target queue. And let's see, I'll call it rule.queue.queue. I should call it collect queue. Dot, I'll say collect queue entries. Okay, collect queue entries. Cookdown. Okay, its data source type is going to be this here, this performance filtered one. Remember, it's not showing us our data source modules because we said we're doing performance collection on this rule, so it limits our options to that. And then our configuration for it. Go back over to the monitor that we just did, which is this one here, and we're going to cheat. Because those are the ones that we need, so we can just go ahead and paste those in. Okay. Shouldn't have to go through, maybe I should have explained that a little bit more, but basically what we're doing here, we could go through and talk about each of these, but it's calling the same data source module that we're using before. So it's really not overly interesting to talk through each of those. We kind of already did. Collected the database and the data warehouse, and we're good to go. Now, what I'm going to do, I just kind of wanted to show that one getting created. I'm actually going to disable this. And the reason I'm doing that is, remember, we wanted to look at the events getting created. All right, so that should actually be good. So let's go ahead and let's do a build. Make sure, again, that we don't have any obvious errors here. Okay, so now let's go ahead, let's go back to our monitor, and let's do a quick simulation on this, because not only can we just validate that we're working properly, but I really want, this is really going to drive home this whole concept of how we get multiple property bags and then filter down to one. We won't see cookdown happening, but it'll really drive how the workflow operates. So if we remember, we go through View, Manage Impact Browser, MP Author Stores, there's my monitors, and we want this one, the queue entries. Okay, so here we are in the simulator. So if I look at my target, now mine are already filled in because I actually already created these and done some testing with it. Yours are probably blank here. And so I filled in a queue path. Remember, these are the expressions that we get from the target object. There is no target object here in my in our testing, so we have to provide values for these. So this is just the location, my local workstation where I created those test set of queues. And then I'm just saying, here's the store code. I'm going to look at the S2 store. So let's go ahead and start this. Okay, now let's talk through each of the steps here, because again, this I've illustrated, I've talked about in the modules, I showed that in kind of that animated PowerPoint, but this really should drive it home. So this is how our monitor's running. Okay, first we get, this is not overly interesting, this is just the trigger, right? This is from the scheduler. But here's our first data source module. And notice we have three property bags here. I have three queues on my local workstation that I'm testing. And we can see here the property bag in the data here, we can see just a quick summary of the property bag values. And we can see we have three different store codes, three different values for each. And then over here, we see that actual XML. Remember, this is what we were looking at on a command line when we were doing the script. This is certainly a much nicer formatting. We can see store code S1, hey, and we can see the separate set of properties for each of those objects. And this is actually when this thing runs off in my lab environment. I have five keys out there. It's going to return five property bags exactly like we're looking at here. The next data source module comes along, though, and notice I only have S2 because this is where we added that filtered module where then we're taking the full set of property bags and filtering it down to one. And of course, in our monitor, we're saying we want the target object to provide that store code. That way, each instance of the workflow selects the property bag that only belongs to it. And then, of course, here, this one happens to be under threshold. We saw this last time. This is where we're setting the different health states, depending on the value that it's actually collecting. And again, I won't bother with that because we saw that last time. So just to drive it home, though, let's do this real quickly for S1, which is another one of those. So we see exact same module. The first module runs exactly the same. The second one, though, returns just the property bag for S1. Okay, so this is working properly. Hopefully this really illustrates this concept of how we return a full set of property bags for all the target instances, and then we filter it down. Now, I'm filtering it down now within another custom module, knowing that module won't cook down, but the module that contains the script will. Very often you'll see this done on the workflow itself, maybe in the monitor type or in the rule or something like that. All that's fine. I prefer to do these things in the modules, just because it's really repeated logic. I have, you know, other performance counters I might want to use. I might want to use these modules for a variety of different counters that I'm collecting. That way I don't have to do that filtering each time. Okay, so let's go ahead and we'll close this up. And let's go, you know, one other thing I want to do before we actually do, just to really drive it home a bit here, this all queue entries. I'm just going to disable that one, okay? And the reason for that is just because the 101 and 102 events, so we don't get things confused there. I'm going to keep the bad one here. One thing I should talk through, in fact, I don't think I even mentioned before, and wow, I should have mentioned this by now. We already did the build, so I don't need to do that. But I have noticed I have a monitor and I have a rule, and they're both using that same module. Now, you might think, okay, then in which case that I'm at least going to get two instances of the script. I understand that it cooks down for all the instances, and so I get one script for all the different instances and all the workflows. But I also have a rule. So I have a monitor and a rule targeted each of these, both using the same script. So you might think, okay, well, you're going to get two instances. Actually not correct. It will cook down between the monitor and the rule, as long as they have the same values being passed in. Let's just check something here that I didn't bother to check before, but how often are we running this thing? Okay, so we're saying every 2 minutes here, and collect queue entries. I'm saying every 2 minutes here. So this actually should cook down between them. This is the place, remember I said, all of the parameters have to have the same values and will cook down. It doesn't have to be the exact same workflow. We will cook down between the monitor and the rule sharing the same data source. What very often why you may not get cooked down between them is because they're doing in different interval seconds. So if runs every say 15 minutes, another runs running every 5 minutes, those are different values. So it's not going to cook down in that case. But if you keep them at the same value, it actually will. Now this is, you know, it's nice. It's sounds, you know, really powerful. Now in our case, that's fairly interesting. I have a monitor and a rule. Okay, so I got two instances of the script. Probably wouldn't be a big deal. But imagine if I had a lot. I mean, I'm right now I'm returning three different values in that property bag. Maybe I had 5, 10. I mean, this you'll certainly see. Look at the SQL management pack returns all sorts of statistics about a database, and I can have rules and monitors based on all those. It can get fairly significant, and we will cook down between all those. Again, all you need to do is plan things out so we resolve to the same values for those parameters. So let's go ahead and get this thing installed. And not only can we look at the ops console and just look at that, actually won't be the interesting part. We'll have a look at those events that we did before and make sure that in fact we are getting just one event for our cookdown script. Okay, so now again, in the sake of our yes, I cut down a little bit on the time it would have installed and had a chance to run in the whole bit. But let's have a look here at what's going on. So again, we see our 101s. These we saw before. They aren't necessarily in order. Let's look at a kind of a block of them here, the 551 time. Okay, so we look at this block here. Notice several 101s. We saw these before, okay, all queue stats. But then notice we have one 102, which is a single queue stats because it's that one value being passed in. And of course, we have five instances of this. Right? In fact, just to show that, let's have a look at the ops console and really verify, yes, in fact, we do actually have five instances of this running. Okay, so now here's our queues being monitored. First, let's have a look at the monitor just to make sure that is in place as we would expect. And sure enough, there it is. There's the bad one. There's the new cookdown one. Okay, so we can see that's there. Yes, you can see I've been doing some testing and whatnot. That's why I've got some state change events. But more interesting, that really kind of tell things that are running a little bit better by looking at the performance view. And we should see some data here, and sure enough we do. This is coming from our rule for collect the queue entries. And notice here there's not changing. There are eight in that queue, so it's maybe not overly interesting. I've actually written some little simulators before where it would just put files in and out of these test queues just to show some interesting data. But this certainly is enough that it shows us, yes, this is working, right? I actually have data. I have a measurement there even though it's not changing. Just check a different one, make sure we get a different value, and sure enough, we do. So certainly we can see that we have a rule, we have a monitor, we're running against multiple instances, but only one copy of that script that we validated. So that really finishes this lesson for cookdown.